Well, good evening. It is a blessing to be home and to be back with all of you and have the opportunity to gather this evening and worship the Lord with Northwest Church of Christ in Austin, Texas. I know that we have visitors in our number. I can tell by looking out amongst our number, and we're grateful for your presence this evening. We're so glad that you've decided to be with us, and we pray that the study that we'll go through this evening will be of great benefit to all who read through the verses with me and consider the thoughts that are presented as we go through this. If you would, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, as most of you know, is a prophet of the Lord. He was called by God in his youth to prophesy to the nation of Israel and to Judah and to tell them of the things that were coming if they would not repent and if they would not turn back. And Jeremiah had a rough go of his prophecies and his preaching and his teaching in public and to the kings that were in power and in a position of power as he prophesied. No one would listen. And so I want to read to you the beginning here, Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. The book begins by saying, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Then said I," this is Jeremiah responding to God, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And so we see Jeremiah called as a young man by the Lord, and he says, "You will prophesy to all of the nations. You have a message from me, and I will put my words in your mouth." Most of you who are familiar with Jeremiah will remember that he is referred to as the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is also credited for writing the book of Lamentations, and we know the word lament is to mourn and to weep bitterly, and Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations as well. He penned the words in that book for us. And Jeremiah, as you go through the book, he certainly did. He wept and he mourned, and he struggled with the message that he had to teach, but the Lord put the word in his mouth, and he was but to say what was required of him to say. If you turn over to Jeremiah 20 and verse 9 with me, before we enter into the chapter I want to study from, I'll show you again a verse that demonstrates this very thing. Jeremiah was given something to teach to the people, to say to the people. The Lord said, "You say these things to the people." And there's a point here in Jeremiah chapter 20 where Jeremiah says, "I'm not doing this anymore. I will no longer speak in his name." He makes a declaration to himself that, "I don't want to prophesy for the Lord anymore. I can't do it." But then he'll share with us that God's word was deep in his heart, and it burned as a fire within his bones, and he could not hold it back. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. "Then I said," this is the prophet Jeremiah, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." And so Jeremiah, wrestling with the message that he was told to preach, remember what the Lord told him in chapter 1, "Don't be afraid of their face." The Lord tells him in advance, "You're not going to have a group of people who want to hear what you have to say. Do not be afraid of their face. You continue to tell them what I've sent you to tell them." And as you go through the book of Jeremiah, you see that he rose up early every morning and he preached the truth. He preached to the people. He preached in the gates. He stood before kings, as I mentioned before, and he told these people what the Lord told him to say. And what a tough ministry. I have sympathy and I empathize with Jeremiah. Being in this room tonight, looking out, I don't see anyone scowling at me. You might be, but I don't see it. And this preacher is, he's told, they're going to do this, but don't stop. You tell them what they must hear. And I'd like for us to turn to Jeremiah 42. Now, I want to go through a moment in time with Jeremiah As I've tried to set up the introduction for him, it's important to know too, before we begin reading in Jeremiah chapter 42, that he has prophesied to the nation of Israel for 40 years now. He has told them, there is a kingdom from the north that is coming. And he spoke of Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, this kingdom is coming and he will destroy Jerusalem. And he will be a servant of the Lord in his actions. The Lord himself will send Nebuchadnezzar to destroy this nation and to destroy this people and to take them back captive to their homeland, which is ultimately Babylon. 40 years he told the people, this is coming. Repent. Turn back to God. And all that he prophesied, coming into chapter 42 where we are, all the things that he said, all that he prophesied from God has already come true. Babylon has invaded Israel and they besieged the gates of Jerusalem for 18 months. And the people watched this unfold day by day as they ran out of food and water. And Jeremiah said these things are coming and Babylon will certainly take this nation and take them back captive. These things have happened, and it's important for us to see that as we step into chapter 42, because what we're going to watch here is a remnant of Judah that's left, still in Israel, still in Judah. And they're going to come to Jeremiah and they want to hear now, what does the Lord say now? What should we do? And that's important because all that Jeremiah has prophesied to this point has unfolded before their eyes. And if anybody's ready to hear the word of the Lord, it's these folks. They have seen that Jeremiah was right in all that he said. And the false prophets have said, no, everything's fine. The Lord has also spoken to me and we're going to be redeemed from Babylon and there won't be any trouble. And so people chose to listen to the false prophets that taught smooth things and taught right things. But all these things have come to pass. In chapter 40 and 41, Gedaliah is set as governor over the remnant of Judah. And Gedaliah is chosen to be governor by Nebuchadnezzar. Ishmael comes onto the scene and he kills Gedaliah and many other men and throws them down into a pit, their dead bodies into a pit. The small portion of Israel that's left is taken away by Ishmael. And Johanan, we're going to read about Johanan. Johanan goes after the remnant. And they see Johanan following, and so the people turn away from Ishmael, who killed the governor, and they go back to Johanan. So now this group is together once again. They are afraid for their lives. Remember, Babylon has stormed in and destroyed everything they know and understand. And Nebuchadnezzar is greatly feared by the people. And they're afraid. And so they're going to say to Jeremiah, tell us what the Lord wants us to do. Look at verse 1 with me. Let's just read the verses now that we have the introduction set up. Jeremiah 42, starting in verse 1, says, now all the captains of the forces, Johanan, that's the man that rescued the people that were being carried away, the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least to the greatest, came near. And they said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petition be acceptable to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing that we should do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard. Indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends to us by you. Now watch verse 6 with me very closely. Listen to what these people say. This is all that's left of Judah, a tiny remnant of the people that are left in the territory. Verse 6, they continue to speak to Jeremiah and they say, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I want us to notice that the people say to Jeremiah, you tell the Lord that we're ready to obey. Whether it's pleasing or displeasing, it doesn't matter what his message is. We will obey anything that he says. These people are scared. They're afraid. And they want to hear from God. It's interesting in verse 7 that it says, after 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. They're scared, they're nervous, they don't know what to do. They may be thinking among themselves, what is our best option? And for 10 days, Jeremiah prays to God. He doesn't say to them, you know, I'm glad you asked because the Lord already told me it, and here's what we're going to do. And, you know, Jeremiah, he actually goes and he settles himself down and he prays to God. This remnant of Israel wants to know, what should we do? And 10 days pass before the Lord reveals to him what he wants to have done. And I want to look at 3 points here. First point that I see in verses 1 through 7 is that all these people knew to seek Jeremiah. That's important. And they knew to seek the Lord. They're afraid. They've seen the prophecies come true. The Babylonians are storming their territory. But there is one thing we can't take from them. They know who to seek out, don't they? And I want to encourage all of you who are here this evening. When you're in trouble and when nervous time comes and maybe there's difficulty or there's a challenge, know in your heart, know in your mind who you would turn to, who you would phone and say, look, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. What does God's Word say about these issues, whatever it is that I'm caught up in? We have elders that have been appointed to lead this congregation. And I'm so thankful every day. I am thankful that that is true. We have deacons in this congregation that are serving with all of their hearts. And these men have been selected and they have gladly taken this work. And we have men that are here in this congregation. We have godly women who have demonstrated their faith in their lives. That if it's an issue that would concern a woman in a matter in that way or in that light, that we could turn to them and say, what do you do about this? What do the scriptures say? We have to take note that these people knew where to turn when they were afraid and when they were scared and they didn't know what to do. They go to Jeremiah and they say, Jeremiah, what does the Lord say? And they're in the right place. This is the right question and it's asked to the right person. And we need to know that too in our lives. The second thing I see is that Jeremiah agrees. He doesn't scold them. I would think a man who prophesied for 40 years and no one listened, they were mad at him. They gave him grief. They threw him down in a pit. They let him sit in mire. You know, now finally this small group of people goes, tell us now what the Lord wants us to do. That would be my moment to go, oh, you finally want to know, huh? Now all these things have happened and you want to know what the Lord thinks? That's not what Jeremiah does. He says, you're right. And I will seek him out. I will find out what the Lord would have us to do. And that says a lot about Jeremiah, the prophet of God. That he agrees and he gets down on his knees. He settles himself down and he prays to God. And again, that's the right thing to do. And we see him do that. All of the people displayed the right attitude when they requested to know God's will. As we went through those verses, especially in verse 6, you know, they say to him, whether it's pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord. And I would say, oh, amen to that. That is a great place to be. And I want to challenge everyone here this evening and myself as well. That it wouldn't require, you know, the worst of times to finally say, okay, what does the Bible say? I've tried every way and I am without options. I don't know what to do. I hope it doesn't come to that. But even if it does, these people's hearts and their minds, the way that they make the petition to Jeremiah is right. They say, you tell us what the Lord says, and even if it upsets me, we'll do it. And you hear that? Even if it upsets me, if I know that it's from the Lord, if it's verified that it's from God, I will do it. And I pray that everyone here this evening has that heart and that intention and that desire in their life. Because there will come times when the preacher stands before you and he presents a lesson or we're in a Bible study and we come across a verse and you say, you know what, that hit me right between the eyes, right in the heart. There are changes that need to be made. Well, I hope that you have this attitude and I hope that I have this attitude when I come across those verses that God has asked something of me that doesn't make me comfortable. It's displeasing to me even. I don't think that's right. But if it's in here, if I can find it in the Word of God, and if I have a faithful preacher who's giving me those words and those lessons for my benefit, then I pray that you would have this attitude. Whether it's pleasing or displeasing, you tell us the word of the Lord and we will obey. Brothers and sisters and visitors who are with us, that's the place we need to be when we open God's word. And I'm glad to read that from these people in Jeremiah chapter 42. Let's find out what happens. Let's continue to march through this. Verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 42. We know that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after 10 days. It says in verse 8, then he called Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. If you will remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. And I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But, here's the other part of what the Lord said to Jeremiah. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine on which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. The word of the Lord has come to Jeremiah. He has now told all of the people from the least unto the greatest. The first thing that I see is that very point. Jeremiah gave the Lord's instruction to all of the people. Look at the end of verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 42. It says, all the captains, the forces that were there with him, and all of the people from the least even to the greatest. I think this is an important point for us because as God's word is preached and taught, we have the least from the greatest. If you think about our age range in this very room, and so Johanan, right now, he is the military leader of the group. He's the one that saved them from the hands of Ishmael. And so he has some responsibility. But it doesn't fall on Johanan to make the decision for the people. Imagine now if the people say, you know what, we heard the word of the Lord, but we're going to Egypt. I mean, we won't be hungry. We don't have to look for bread. There won't be the sound of the trumpet. There'll be no noise of war. There's peace in Egypt. Let's go to Egypt. Somebody, from the least to the greatest, all we needed was one faithful soul to go, no, no, wait a second. Jeremiah has never been wrong, y'all. His prophecies have all come true. All that he has said has come true. He has told us now that if we remain in the land, that the Lord will not tear us down, but he'll plant us and he'll build us up. The Lord said if we went into Egypt, that we would die by famine and by the sword, that the armies would quickly chase us to Egypt. All it took was one faithful soul to stand with Jeremiah and say, that's not what we heard. We can't go to Egypt. And so as the gospel is preached today in 2013, somebody, the Lord needs a courageous heart, a dedicated soul to say, you know what, that's not what the Bible says. No matter what the matter that comes up, the issue at hand, we need a brave and faithful heart and a faithful soul to say, no, we can't go there. The Bible teaches us otherwise, and I believe in the Word of God. Someone must stand for what we've heard and what we've come to understand about God's will in our life. And I don't know how close that day is when, for whatever reason, the circumstances change. There's fear in our hearts. Who knows what's coming our way, what will come down the pike. But what I do know is that somebody's going to have to say, no, I've been studying God's word, and it directly commands us not to do this, whatever it may be. And even if we stand on our own in that matter, from the least to the greatest, it has been taught, it has been instructed. And you have an obligation to read God's word and to know what it says. He gave the instruction to all of the people. I think that's a very important point. Another thing I see here is that the Lord's message was very clear, wasn't it? You read it with me. He says, now, if you stay here, I will not tear you down. I will relent from what I have brought, the evil that I brought on this nation, and I will build you up. I will plant you in your own land, and you will be fruitful. He says to them, but also, if you think you can go to Egypt for safety, here is what will happen. You will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. The message is very clear. That's not the problem. Let me ask you a question. What's the problem when a man looks into God's word and he starts saying, okay, what does the Lord want me to do? And he looks into God's word. Where does this process derail? Is it with the clarity of God's word? Or is it often, too often, with the situation of the man's heart as he's reading scripture that he says, you know what, I don't want to do that. I can do 90% of it, but I don't want to do the rest. That's always where the problem is. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, I said it here just to make the point that it tells us there that God is not the author of confusion. And there's no confusion in this message from Jeremiah. It's very obvious what was said from Jeremiah. Any child can understand the two choices that are in front of them and what will come from those two choices. And so we can't blame this on the Lord or on His prophet as the message was delivered. The message is very clear. I also want to ask a question. You know, looking at this, that these people want to go back to Egypt. Anybody remember the nation of Israel and the history of Israel? Does Egypt ever cross paths with Israel? Yes. The nation of Israel, was in Egypt. And remember, they were bondservants. They were slaves to the nation of Egypt. And in the days of Moses, they cried out to God. And God approaches Moses in the burning bush and He says, I have heard the cry from your people. And it is now time to free them and to redeem them, to save them from that bondage. And even when they go out into the wilderness, the Lord is leading them. He is feeding them every day. He provides a fire by night and a cloud by day to lead them and to guide them. Already they are saying, you know, if we were in Egypt, at least we'd have bread to eat. God is in their midst. He is demonstrating Himself and His power before them. They still won't turn to Him and ask Him for the things they need. They keep wanting to go back to Egypt. And here we are in Jeremiah chapter 42. There's a remnant left. There's very few left. The armies have come in from the north. And they want to run from those armies, so they would naturally head south and go right back into Egypt. And I want to use Egypt just for a moment to share with you that, you know, we all have an Egypt in our life. I think maybe mine stands out in my mind a little stronger because I was baptized at the age of 27. And I had my Egypt. I had my own resources, the things I would turn to when I got into trouble and when I feared. When trouble came my way, I had things that I depended on or something I would jump into and fulfill whatever desires or lusts I had in those issues, and I was not serving God. And so you march along and you accept the plan of salvation. You say, I'm going to follow God no matter what. And I was determined to do that, brothers and sisters. But Egypt will always be right over my shoulder. In Egypt, you know, the grass always looks greener in Egypt. You know, when I was in Egypt, at least it wasn't like this or like that. At least I didn't have to bear up under all of these pressures at work. In Egypt, things were easier. And that is Satan again, making us or hoping that we'll believe that we could always go back to Egypt. We could always abandon the Lord. And I am begging you this evening, if there's an Egypt in your life and you can pinpoint it, don't go back. Don't think about Egypt. There's nothing there. God has also plainly written out for us in the New Testament, if you serve the lust of the flesh, if you walk by the flesh, you will reap the benefits of the flesh. And it's not good. The Bible's very clear on that matter. And so we too have our Egypt. Even after following God, that we would want to turn back to those things that God has not allowed us to participate in or be involved in. These people, we can point the finger at them, we can look at them and say that a shame on them for wanting to go back to Egypt. But we too have our Egypt. And I'm asking you this evening to know what that is. Don't ever turn back. God's word is plainly written out for us. We understand His instruction. We know of the hope that lies out in front of us. Don't be deceived into thinking that there's something better here that would separate you from the living God. Don't ever do that. Let's finish. Jeremiah 42. Go down to verse 19 with me. It says, the Lord has said, and this is Jeremiah speaking to the remnant of Judah. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord, your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God. And according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it. And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, or anything which He has sent to you by me. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go and to dwell. And so Jeremiah says to them, you were hypocrites in your request. Everything you said was just right. But when the message came, you had already made up your mind. You were going to Egypt. So make no mistake, when you turn to Egypt and you start walking that way, that I have told you what is going to happen. I want to point out that the Lord demonstrated great mercy. You know, we saw Him say that He says, I now will relent from this thing that I have done to the nation of Israel and to Judah, and I want to offer you mercy and grace. The Lord, too, could have said to this small portion of people to say, you know, no way, we're not doing that again. I know your hearts, I know your intentions, and I'm not talking to you anymore. You have gotten what you deserve. But the Lord showed great mercy through His prophet Jeremiah, and He gave them a way out. He says, if you will obey Me this day, we're going to start over, and it's going to be with you. And you know, the Messiah has not yet come. The Lord is going to be faithful to His promise that Jesus Christ is coming. He will be born, and it will be through David, by his seed, and ultimately through Abraham. And He offers to this small portion of people to stay here. I will plant you. Do not be afraid of the king. And I'll establish your ways as you are obedient to Me. And we don't need to mistake this, what the Lord gave to them, as Him being short with them or anything else. He gave them great mercy. And He demonstrated His patience as He offered them one more time a way to do what's right. And they disobeyed the voice of the Lord. The people made a choice. And again, you know, I hope this settles back on us, because we go all the way back in time and we look at Jeremiah. We look at these moments in time as we march through the chapter. But we are ultimately in the same boat. You think about the fact that there is a remnant of Judah that are able to stand before Jeremiah and to hear this last plea. Please obey My word. You are the only ones that are hearing this message. And I think about us. When you think about numerically the city of Austin, and Austin in even a bigger sense, when you go to the small towns that surround Austin, how big this city has become, and how many of us are there here that are still saying, tell us what the Lord has said. And I am thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that you decided to be here. But you too will make a choice on what it is that you've heard and what we've studied together. You too will have to make a choice, just as I will, whether or not I will serve Him with all my heart, with all of my strength, with all of my soul. And I pray that we make the right choice. We have these examples in front of us. You know, Romans 15 and verse 4 tells us the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience we might have comfort in looking at these scriptures. And so it's said to us that we can go back to these passages and see how God dealt with man and learn the lesson. The remnant of the city of Austin that is gathered here this evening to hear the word of the Lord preached, it is our turn to make the choice that we will make. Psalm 119, if you look at the psalm there, the entire 119th psalm, it talks about the statutes of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, the word of God, that it is pure and it's righteous. It is a lamp unto our feet and a guide to our path. But in Psalm 119, starting in verse 137, it says this, and I want you to think about the people who made their choice. It says, righteous are You, O Lord, and upright are Your judgments. Your testimonies which You have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten Your words. Your word is very pure, therefore, Your servant loves it. And it's a beautiful passage to look at and to consider God's word, as we've talked about it this evening, and to think about these things. And now, just as a matter of closing, we need to ask ourselves, you know, has anything changed from the days of Jeremiah to where we are now? Will we be different? Will we be different than the remnant of Judah, having maybe our own solution in our mind, but then reading God's word and seeing that His is different, but it's right and it's pure and it's righteous and it'll stand forever? Again, it's our turn to make that choice. When you go all the way to the New Testament, and I believe we should, to drive these points home, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy and he's giving him instruction. And he warns them about those who will no longer want to hear the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. This is coming. It's been told to us. He will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and his kingdom. Timothy, you preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. When you look at the book of Jeremiah, as you go through chapter after chapter, there is a challenge there that Jeremiah says the other prophets that exist today are false. They have lied to you. They have told you smooth things. They have told you what you want to hear. Do not be deceived by their message. I have the direct word from God. He has put his hand on my mouth that I would proclaim his word. And I'm doing what he's asked me to do. This is the word of God. And he preached to it over and over. But there were plenty of false prophets to turn to and to listen to. And Paul tells Timothy, you know, all of these years have gone by and not one thing has changed. There are going to be people who don't want to hear the truth from God. They will turn their ears away. They will turn aside to fables. The world does not need one more false teacher. This world does not need one more false prophet to tell you that America is going to be okay. That this is the greatest nation that we've ever lived in and there's nothing to be worried about. That there won't come a day when we will fear for our lives and what we secured ourselves in is no longer there. This world needs men like Jeremiah that will say, you make your heart right with God. I don't know how long we have, but I know what God's word says, and you dedicate yourself to his truth and don't you ever turn from it. If anyone ever stands behind this pulpit and preaches to this congregation, we need men like Jeremiah. And I pray that I have the strength and the courage to do that as long as you'll have me. But as we speak from the least to the greatest, you too play a part in that, to look at the scriptures, to study them daily and to say, yes, what you say is right, or no, no, you've gotten off track. Make that determination. Know that what's being taught is right. We don't need another man to tell us it's going to be okay. We need men like Jeremiah. The message was not well received. It wasn't a good one. But if they would have turned, God would have been with them. That was the problem. This world needs men like Jeremiah. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. I hope that you're familiar with those verses because it really ties in to all that we've looked at this evening. And it helps us draw our conclusion. Proverbs chapter 3. Starting in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I want us to see and to understand that these are the words of Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. These words were penned and written down so that the people in Jeremiah's day would already have them. They would know that these proverbs were written by King Solomon. And he admonished them. He said to them, you trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. We get to Jeremiah chapter 42, and God says, I know that you're afraid of the king. I know that you want to retreat to Egypt, but this is my commandment to you. And they threw Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 right out the window and said, no, we're going where there's peace. We're not going to stay here and fight with the king of Babylon. And they were wrong. Lean not on your own understanding. We need to make that apply to our hearts today. God will not change. We recognize as he gives the people his word that because they chose to disobey him and they did go into Egypt, he did not change what he told them would happen. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 3, or Hebrews 13 and verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I do not change. And so what we have is a proposition from God. He says, this is the way that I want this to unfold. I have offered to you eternal salvation. Now you will either respond to that or you will not, for whatever reason. You have the choice. We still are free moral agents, just like the people in Jeremiah chapter 42. And what will we do? How will you and I respond to what we've come to understand? I can't know the hearts of every man and every woman in this place tonight. But I would ask you to search your own heart, because you certainly know yours. And so you can think about this with me. You know, what is it that you've been doing with God's Word? Are you studying? Do you trust in it in such a way that you meditate on it day and night, and that you know that it's eternally true, and that your salvation is inside of these pages, and that we would work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, that those thoughts and those ideas would be real to us? Are you living that way? Is there something in your life that's gotten a hold of you and has caused you to turn away from God? Are you involved in something that you know has separated you from God? We have another night. As I said earlier, I don't know how much time that He will give us. But don't look at His long-suffering as He's not coming. Look at it as His grace and His mercy that's been extended to each one of us to take inventory of our lives and to say, you know, I need to do a better job. I need to serve God in a more responsible way and stop taking for granted the time that He's given me. If that needs to happen, and you need the prayers of this congregation, use that. You know, the Lord in His infinite wisdom, I mentioned elders earlier, He has given us one another. Each one of us, from the least to the greatest, we can study God's Word, we can read what it says. We have people that we can turn to and we say, I can't beat this. It keeps getting me. I keep going back into Egypt and I can't stop it. And I don't know why. That's what happens to us. We're human beings. Don't dismiss it. It's not according to God's will. Seek out others in the congregation. If you need the prayers of this congregation tonight, then you say, you know, I'm wrestling with this. I cannot gain victory over it, but I know that you're here. I have a support. Don't go home again with your heart broken over this matter. Seek the resources that God has given to you so that you would have the strength that you need. You have someone to take you by the hand and say, stand up, brother. I want to go to heaven and I want you there. And we will do this together. You reach out if you need to. You get the strength that you need to be victorious in whatever matter you're wrestling with. And there's an invitation to you this evening to seek the prayers of this entire congregation. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, we're told in the book of James. And so share that. Tell us what you need, if that's the right way to handle this. You always have the opportunity to repent before God through prayer. If you're a member of the church, you can get on your knees and talk to the Lord and beg Him for strength. We're told in Hebrews that we should come boldly to the throne of grace and to ask for the strength and for the help that we need, because we have a high priest who has been tested in every way yet without sin, and He is faithful to see us through. And so you do that. You do what you need to do. But understand God's Word, know what it says, and be faithful to that, because it's eternally true. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? If you need to obey the gospel, we are told in Scripture that if we are not obedient to God's will and to the plan of salvation that He's given to us by His grace, by His mercy, and by His love, that we will be eternally lost. And you too have an opportunity to think about where you stand in light of eternity and where your heart is with the Lord. You know, God's asked us to do some very simple things, to turn to Jesus Christ and to confess Him as our Lord and our Savior, to turn away from whatever evil's in our life and to serve Him with all of our hearts, to be a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. If you need to put on Jesus Christ in baptism, do that tonight and make every heart in this place rejoice, because another soul has seen fit to declare themselves a servant of Jesus Christ and a servant of God. Do that for us. Do that for yourself. Let us rejoice together, because another soul has been spared eternal condemnation. If you need to put on Jesus Christ in baptism, you do that this evening, and let us help you get to heaven. If you need to come forward, please do that while together we stand and sing to encourage you.